and we think that they've come up with some good solutions for those. And as far as we're concerned, the streetcar is pure bonus. It makes it even better from a pedestrian point of view because it extends our reach. It means we can go farther by just walking a little bit and then hopping on the streetcar, and it adds more to the pedestrian-friendly setting. So we would recommend that you approve the couplet.
Good afternoon. My name is Mick Servas, and I'm actually here to put a face on your safety. On January 1st, 1998, I was the victim of a hit and run on 19th and West Burnside. The car ran through the red light, and it knocked me 20 feet, broke my lower leg in 3 spots. I was in the hospital for 6 days. I recuperated in my apartment for 9 weeks and actually walked with, after learning to walk again through physical therapy, I walked with crutches and then a cane until October of that year. I want to stress that I was in a crosswalk with the light green crossing to go over to the bus stop south on Burnside, and the car ran through the red light and hit me. Whether they couldn't see me because of sight of line, whether they were in a rush because of traffic, whatever, you need to know that there are victims, and I was following the rules. There are a lot of people in this room who are going to follow the rules. They're going to be in a crosswalk. They're going to be in a green light. And unless something changes with the safety, they're going to be hit. It is very, very dangerous there. I recuperated. I was lucky. It, like I said, broke my leg in 3 spots. It scraped off the right side of my body. And the only reason that the police officers at the scene said that I survived was because my head landed in my backpack, and so I did not suffer major head trauma. There are a lot of people in this room that if they cross at that intersection, which is a very busy intersection, they might not have the same luxury of being here to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks. So those children that are upstairs and want to testify, we're going to do one more panel. And maybe while the panel is up here talking, those of you that have signed up can make your way downstairs over to this side of the chamber to our right. And we'll try to keep things moving here. So the next panel is on some insight into the community process. Ann Niles, Michael Powell, and Richard Harris.
My name is Ann Niles, and I am on the Pearl District Neighborhood Association Planning and Transportation Committee, and I've been a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee since we began meeting in 2001. I want to talk a little bit about what the Stakeholder Advisory Committee was. It was a broad representation of people from the community. About 28 members included 10 neighborhood associations and other businesses in those neighborhoods along the Burnside Corridor, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, Pedestrian Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, the Regional Arts Council, Portland Business Alliance, Social Service Agency, and developers, including Gerding Edlund, who are the developers of both the Brewery Blocks and the Henry. City bureaus also were included besides the Office of Transportation. The Bureau of Planning and the Portland Development Commission were participants. The problem we had to solve was, as you've heard today, to eliminate Burnside as a barrier and to make the street like a downtown street, one that connects, that doesn't divide. The process was very simply, one, to consider alternatives, secondly, to reach consensus, and finally, third, to endorse a plan. The alternatives we considered were just to improve the existing Burnside, much of what is being advocated today by the Bureau of Planning. The second was to emphasize more the north-south connections at the intersections along Burnside. But neither of these alternatives, in the view of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, really solved the problem. The fatal flaw that we felt with these plans, these alternatives, were that no left turns were allowed. And without left turns, you really can't connect downtown with the Pearl District or Old Town Chinatown. On its own, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee came up with the idea of the couplet. It was not in any way a solution that was proposed by either staff or anyone else. We, in the process of discussion, decided to do that. That was the best idea because of the free left turns and all of the other benefits that you've heard about already. In addition, it seemed an obvious solution because the Cooch already connected with the overpass over I-405, so it made a natural connection for that the couplet. In coming up with this solution, which is endorsed by the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, it was reached by consensus. And I think that's really important when you consider that the participants in reaching that consensus include the Bureau of Planning representative and also the Girding Edlin representative, the developer of the brewery blocks and the Henry. As you know, City Council adopted the Burnside Transportation and Urban Design Plan in 2002. The next phase of that plan was to do the technical refinements report, and that, again, the Stakeholder Advisory Committee participated in, again, with group discussion, and that work was completed in 2005. And as we've heard again today, in 2006, Commissioner Adams requested a separate analysis of the Burnside problem. It was completely independent of any work that we had done. After the alternatives were examined, the couplet was the only alternative that solved the problem. Again, that problem was to make Burnside not a barrier, but a Portland city street, and it connects both the Pearl District and Old Town Chinatown with downtown. I just want to say that the staff advisory process, I think, was the best citizen advisory committee that I have ever served on. We had frank, open, respectful discourse on potentially and sometimes divisive issues. We had ample time to work through our disagreements. Our solutions came out of our discussions, not imposed by staff or consultants. We really felt that it was our solution, and because we had participated in it, we all came to an agreement and bought into the solution. Therefore, I ask, since the City Council already adopted the initial plan in 2002, last year you adopted the east side portion of this plan, that request today that you complete the process and approve the west side part of the plan. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Richard Harris. I'm wearing two hats today, one for Central City Concern, and the other is for the Old Town Chinatown Visions Committee. I've been working in Burnside for 27 and a half years now. In fact, 5 years I had my office on 2nd and Burnside, and have witnessed just how difficult the street can be for both pedestrians and automobiles. But my real concern is that we have four residential buildings on these two streets with a total of 547 residents who reside either on Cooch or on Burnside. And I'm concerned about how those residents manage to negotiate Burnside on a daily basis. I'm not here really to talk about the safety issues. I think they've been talked about by others, but to point out that many people have to live with the street the way it is. One of the documents that governs much of what we do in Old Town Chinatown is the Old Town Chinatown Visions Plan. And I think there's been a misunderstanding about why we're even talking about Burnside today. Some believe that it was simply a repaving project that got out of control. But I can tell you that in Old Town Chinatown, the neighborhood has been concerned about the barrier of Burnside and the efforts to tame it and to make it more human, dating back to 1995 when the Visions process first started. So the Visions plan that was completed in 97 identified Burnside as a not only a safety issue, but a psychological and a physical barrier separating north and south of Burnside. The old town, the skid row of the city with the downtown and business area. And I think most of us in Old Town believe that we need to unite the parts of the city in a way that Old Town shares with the benefits of the rest of the city and economic development. There's many signs that this is beginning to happen, but the street still remains a barrier. So at the Visions Committee, repeatedly this project had been discussed and brought forward. Finally, we badgered PDOT into actually taking us seriously about how long it took to cross the street. They added some time to the signals at 2nd and Burnside. Gradually, PDOT got the idea that actually the neighborhood was really quite agitated about fixing the street. It also coincided with not just Old Town Chinatown plan, but other neighborhoods were experiencing the same issues. And so I just want to sort of set the record straight that I think that this comes from a grassroots place, that this street has been a barrier and a problem for many people for a long time, and it's really time to address those things. So the neighborhood believes it's a high priority. It's prioritized this in the top two or three items in the PDC budget for the last 5 years. We take seriously that public resources should be spent on this project, and the time needs to be now that we do something about it. We really can't wait any longer. So moving this forward with the engineering study seems consistent with the new data that's been developed, which confirms what was really done in my other favorite document, which is the Burnside Transportation Plan from 2002. So I would urge you to move forward on this as soon as you can.
If there are also conferring with the mayor, if there are parents with kids that would have signed up to testify, they would like to testify because you would like to leave early than sitting through the conclusion of the hearing, why don't we also take your testimony early as well? So, Michael.
Thank you. I'm Michael Powell. I'm also a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee that was convened in 99 and carried the plan to City Council in 2002 and then stayed with it through Commissioner Adams' reevaluation. I'm delighted to be here today. I guess for full disclosure, I should also say I chair the Portland Streetcar Board, and I'm on the board of the Pearl District Business Association. Occasionally, I sell books. So much has been said about the process and the public process, and I just want to echo a little bit of Ann's and add a couple of thoughts of my own. I've been involved in public planning going back to Central City Plan, and I've been in the West End Plan, I've been in the Pearl District Plan, revisits to the Central City Plan over various administrations. And I'm the proudest and I'm the happiest to be able to be here today. This is the best work I've ever been involved with. And when I sat down in that initial room and saw that there were business people, associates, association there, next to neighborhood association, next to bicycle enthusiasts and pedestrian enthusiasts and city bureaus, I thought there's not much chance that this is going to work because there are, yeah, and Richard just whispered in my ear a tree hugger or two. In fact, if the meetings ever got too quiet, I would occasionally say, let's chainsaw those trees, and that would liven things up for a while. The group took its responsibility very seriously. This is Portland, and Portlanders are often asked to do hard work. And it's a Portland process that you take representatives from the neighborhoods, representatives from stakeholders, interested people, and you put them together and you give them professional help and you say what can be possible solutions. Doesn't mean that they're always going to be right. Doesn't mean that the city council has to rubber stamp any of it. But it is a Portland process, and it's one that's now gone on for 7 years. And it's a valuable process. And I don't think we've designed a camel here. I think we've designed a brilliant solution to a real problem. For the last 27 years of my life, which have been spent in Portland, I have on my every working day rolled out at either my store or my business offices on Burnside and confronted immediately the reality of Burnside. If I'm with a friend, it means getting off Burnside so you can walk and talk. You can't do that on Burnside. It's too noisy, too congested, too dirty, and not very interesting to look at. If you look up and down Burnside, you see very few businesses. And those that are there typically turn their back on Burnside. Whole Foods focused on Coot Street, and but had an entrance on Burnside. It's locked. Bank Tower has stores and shops in its corridor, has an entrance on Burnside. It's locked. Most of the businesses and even the social service agencies that find a reason to have one face on Burnside find a reason and an opportunity to put their door on the side streets. It's just not a compatible or comfortable place to be. My customers don't like it. People I see walking through the neighborhood don't like it. They find ways to avoid it. Businesses have avoided it. Development potential is like stagnant, and I think we can change all of that. Burnside deserves better. Portland deserves better. The work that's been done here deserves to be recognized and I think rewarded, and I think this is a project and a plan that speaks for itself. Here's an opportunity to fix something that needs fixing. Here's an opportunity to do it in an efficient, cost-effective, and design-effective way so that instead of being slightly embarrassed by the shabbiness of the main street that goes through our city, we can be proud of it as we are so much of the rest of our city. So I really applaud the process. I've made good friends through this process. We've had some stout arguments and disagreements. But in the end, I can't believe how well this group has held together over 7 years. If you were to call a meeting tomorrow of the stakeholders group, everybody that was physically able would come. They're that proud of this plan and that proud of what work they've done. And that's a testimony. So I hope you can see it in your hearts and in your minds to support this. This is good for Portland. I really believe that.
Thank you. So do we have any children or parents with children that would like to testify now? Yep. How do you want to do this?
Let's bring them up.
Come on up.
Thank you for being here. And when you speak, if you'd tell us your name, we would appreciate it. And why don't you go ahead and start? Who wants to start? Okay.
We're all doing it together.
So. Oh, together. Okay. Better speak into those microphones up there, too, so we can hear you.
You can pull them down, I think, a little bit. A little bit. Yeah, okay.
Hello, my name is Justine Donaldson.
Hello, my name is Caroline Hauser.
And my name is Grace Becker.
The following is a recipe for healthy and safe children taken from the kitchen of Cathedral School, which serves 227 students, written by Justine Donaldson. Good, clean air, free from exhaust fumes.
We already have fumes from the freeway.
Playing outside will be unhealthy if more cars drive beside our school. Quiet surroundings. Traffic noise is too close to the school building will make it hard for us to hear and understand what we must learn.
It is right next to the music room.
Safety. Will drivers go 20 miles per hour and respect our crosswalks?
Changing the traffic patterns is not a wise choice.
It is a dangerous and unhealthy one for our school.
Thank you for listening to our speech.
We would like to invite the mayor and city commissioners to our school to see what would happen if we made Cooch Street a busy street. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nicely done.
Other children?
Well, I'm doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We just thought you were there for good looks. We didn't know you were going to talk to us.
Oh, this could be a comedy show.
You have no idea.
I am Flynn Mulligan, and I just want to say that I find it hard to study if there's a bunch of traffic going on outside. Thank you.
Thank you. Very well done.
Good afternoon. My name's Fergie Bush, and I've been a member of St. Mary's Church for 12 years and currently have a kindergartner and a first grader at Cathedral School. For the past several months, I've lost sleep over the thought of the amount of traffic that this couplet would bring to our school and church neighborhood. This proposed couplet would flat out endanger the lives of hundreds of children on a daily basis. I don't like to think about these things, but how can I not? God forbid that this couplet plan goes through and takes the life of one of our children. It will shatter the lives of hundreds. Children are not developmentally the same as adults and less able to protect themselves from an accident. They are shorter and harder to see. They sustain more severe injuries than adults from the same impact. They assume that if they see the driver sees them. They are less able to accurately assess speeds and the directions of sound. They do often what the parent and the driver least expects. I cannot see any good of coming out of this proposed couplet and streetcar plan, and for the safety of our children, I beg you to stop this proposal now. Thank you.
Hey, folks, if you could remember to use your hands to wave and not to clap. Thank you. Are there other children?
Mayor Potter, commissioners, I'm going to cry. Sorry, no. My name is Valerie Stiegel. I'm here as a parent of the lowly forgotten Emerson Charter School. My address is 1533 Northeast Skidmore Street in Portland. I recognize most of you have already made up your minds, so I really appreciate you hearing me. Here's what I know. You guys have put a lot of thought into this. You clearly have. I think a lot of it is such a great idea, but you didn't recognize our school. We sit on the corner of Northwest Cooch and Northwest Park. We serve over 125 students every day from all around Portland. I ask you to think about what it would be like for them sitting in their school just feet away, 10 feet away, from a very busy street cooch, trying to pay attention, trying to hear their teachers. Picture them trying to concentrate on their lessons, just like the Cathedral School kids said. I also ask that you think about them on the playground, which is in the park blocks, which, by the way, was totally cut out in your proposal. Thanks. I ask that you envision what they're going to breathe. I ask you to envision the noise. I ask you to envision them being dropped off and picked up every day right next to Cooch. I ask you to please, please envision clearly in your minds unaware drivers traveling too fast on a westbound artery, because it will be, whether you want it to be or not, that's what drivers are going to think. And they're going to try to get to their places quickly. I want you to think about the police officers we expect you to put there to monitor the people who are going the speed limit. You don't do that now. Our kids deserve that. They will deserve it with a couplet. When you envision Portland's future, which you clearly have, please include our kids. They deserve it. Thank you very much for hearing.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and City Council members. My name is Berkeley Franklin. I lived at 1533 Northeast Skidmore Street in Portland, Oregon. I'm 6 years old and a first grader at the Emerson School in the Pearl District of downtown Portland. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I would like to talk to you about the Burnside Cooch couplet because I think there should be a better way of making the streets safer for pedestrians, especially children. I think your ideas about adding traffic lights to the area are fantastic. Traffic lights will make it easier to cross streets. I take the number 8 bus into downtown every day. I have to cross Northwest Broadway and Cooch, so I know how dangerous that area is. Crosswalks on Burnside should be lighted because people drive across them when I am ready to cross. It makes me feel frustrated. If you put in traffic lights, the area will be safer for all pedestrians, including children. What I don't like about the couplet idea is that there will be a lot of pollution, noise, and safety problems. Air pollution will irritate our lungs so that the children who go to my school will not have fresh air on the playground and inside school. The noise will be so loud from the cars and traffic that we won't hear each other on the playground or teachers during our lessons. There will be lots of safety problems. For example, adding lots of traffic would increase our chance of getting hit by a car, a bus, or even a trolley. So while adding
traffic lights is wonderful for pedestrians in our school. Adding lots of cars is not too wonderful. Thank you for coming up with the ideas of how to make Pearl District safer for pedestrians. But I would appreciate you considering how increasing the pollution, noise, and traffic would decrease safety of the children who go to my school, because there will be there every day and it will affect us most. Thank you again for letting me take the time to speak and for keeping in mind these important words.
Thank you. Is that all the parents of children?
My name is Jackie Brown, and I'm the Parents Association President at Cathedral School. These are my children. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the financial concerns for Cathedral. We have an extremely tight budget, and it's critical that we be able to stay at capacity in order to retain or to not have to raise tuition. And if we raise tuition, we price out some of the lower-income families that are at our school. Our ability to retain students and attract new families can be hampered due to the following reasons. Increased traffic means we can no longer use 17th as an overflow area at recess for older students, which will cause more congestion in the playground area. More noise from cars, trucks, emergency vehicles, buses, and a streetcar causes disruptions in the learning process. Additional traffic means worse air quality for the classrooms and the playground. And extra pedestrian traffic causes more issues with strangers in the area. While the school is in an urban area, it is in a quiet zone that's been encouraged by the city through the closure of 17th between Cooch and Davis, as well as the diverter at 16th and Cooch. These devices severely restrict traffic in the neighborhood, and changing this means changing the atmosphere of the school. Secondly, LEDs would cause a huge impact in two ways. The increase in our budget from the LIDs will create a need to increase tuition, which would cause a hardship on our lower-income families. And as a Catholic institution, it is our responsibility to continue to offer a Catholic education to all at every income level. The LIDs would take money directly out of our operating budget. This is a particularly unfair hardship, since the students' families pay for the cost of the project, but the children can't ride the streetcar on their own. They're too young. When we polled the families at the school, we could find no one that would commute to the school on the streetcar. Although several families live in Northwest neighborhoods, none live close enough to the streetcar alignment to use it as a viable alternative. Our families come from 24 different zip codes, and carpooling has been our most efficient commuter option. Please consider these impacts on the school when you make your decision. Our goal is to continue to educate these students as well as serve our community. We need your help to attain this goal. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Mary Healy, and I am a graduate of Cathedral School, as well as a parent of six-year-old twins who currently attend the school. I have many fond memories of my years at grade school at Cathedral in the 1970s. However, I do have one very vivid and still to this day disturbing memory that is relevant to our discussion today. The third grade classroom was, and still is, situated on the corner of 17th and Cooch. One day, we heard a loud crash outside the window and all rushed to see what had happened. What we saw was something that school children should not have to see. It was a fatal motorcycle accident, the driver killed instantly, and his stiff body laying in the middle of Cooch Street. I share this story with you today, decades later, and now as a parent, to illustrate an important point. Extending the Burnside-Cooch couplet to 19th Avenue erases decades of progress. Back when this accident occurred, Cooch Street was a thoroughfare, and traffic was recognized as a very big problem. The school and the parish have worked collaboratively with the city over the years to minimize traffic and to increase the safety and health of our school children. Most notably, as was just mentioned, in the late 70s, 17th Avenue was closed in front of the school between Cooch and Davis, and then later a diverter was added at 16th and Cooch. The couplet would bring back the traffic and safety problems that so many have worked so hard to correct. Why do something that negates this progress? That accident could easily have involved one of our children, perhaps while walking to the church to practice for an upcoming school mass or helping their parents with a daily litter pickup around the school. This is my biggest fear and perhaps why I cannot get the image of the dead motorcycle guy out of my mind. Please vote against the Burnside Cooch couplet. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Next family.
Good afternoon. My name is Liz Johnson. I'm a parent of Cathedral School. I'm a parishioner of Cathedral Parish, and I'm a business and building owner in the Goose Hollow District. I'm very strongly opposed to the couplet. This is my youngest daughter. However, I have been at the Cathedral School and Parish for nearly 17 years. I think that what we're in danger of doing with this couplet proposal, especially with bringing it all the way up to 19th, which has not been on the table for a number of years, as we know, that we are now in danger of not having just one extremely busy street in this delicate area, but two. And I actually see that as a step backwards, not a step forward. We all know that our city is expanding and growing. We see it around us every day, from the steps of the church, from the school. We're not necessarily people opposed to change. We just feel that there are safety issues on the table and there are extreme disruption issues on the table that need to be dealt with. I was a little bit disturbed at one of the meetings that we had earlier when we brought up the fact that this would be not just a little bit of time, but this would be a long, long time of disruption every single day. And we were basically shut down with, oh, no, no, we would be able to do that during the summer. Well, the summer vacation is about 2 months. One of my oldest children was at St. Mary's School, and the streetcar construction was a disruption to her education for 3 years. Not 2 or 3 months, but 3 years. I really feel that there are a lot of issues on the table that have not been looked at carefully enough in terms of safety. I feel that we are moving the problem from one street to two streets. I would ask you to please take a more careful, considered look at it and come up with a different alternative. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Eleanor Niedermeyer.
And I'm Lillian Niedermeyer.
And I'm Mac Niedermeyer.
And I'm Joseph Niedermeyer.
We go to Cathedral School, and we're all brothers and sisters. And I think we would have a very big disturbance in our studies and other social things there. And it's just a disturbance to us because, like, we couldn't concentrate. Our teachers couldn't concentrate on teaching, and it just wouldn't be fair to the school body and the whole cathedral school.
Here you go. Well, I wanna like the fact that there's gonna be more pollution in the air from the streetcars and the disturbance to our classes, especially the music room, and
when a teacher is trying to teach something and a big truck is going by, you'll only hear like the noise of wah wah, and then you won't really get it because you will hear the truck noise. And she said, or he would say, yeah, did you learn anything? Like, no, I didn't hear anything. Yeah, no, don't use it.
I just don't like the noise in the streetcar.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
For say sixth grader, fourth grader, second grader, kindergartner. So 16 years.
Mom. Good job, Mom.
Other children? Okay, we'll return to the presentations.
All right, let's have Chris Smith, who's on the streetcar board that recently took action, and also NWDA, Patricia, Lou Bowers, and Lou Elliott. The two Lous. There he is.
Well, good afternoon. Chris Smith, and for the record, I am chair of the Portland Streetcar Citizens Advisory Committee and their authorized representative. I'm only going to make one point in that capacity. The issue of pedestrian safety around the streetcar was raised by an earlier testifier. We are now in our sixth year of streetcar operations, and with the exception of one intoxicated person who walked into the side of a streetcar, we have had no pedestrian incidents. Pedestrian collisions with the streetcar. We have a very, very safe operation. I'm primarily here in my capacity as the former NWDA transportation chair and NWDA's representative to the Burnside Stakeholder Committee. And in that capacity, I'd like to say, first of all, NWDA has supported the couplet since the 2002 plan and continues to do so. And I'd like to speak to the contrast between the couplet and the enhanced existing concept that a lot of people have put forward as a viable alternative. I think it really is not an alternative. And the reason for this is that the couplet manages to do two things simultaneously. It accommodates the traffic while taming it, and it provides a greatly enhanced pedestrian safety environment, primarily by splitting the traffic so a pedestrian never has to deal with more than two lanes at once, taming that traffic through progressive signals, so it's at a speed well below 20 miles an hour, and providing signalized crossings at every intersection, essentially. The enhanced existing can't come close to that in terms of pedestrian safety features. Sure, there are things we can do, but in a two-way street operation, you're essentially always making a trade-off. The more friendly you make it for pedestrians, the more you restrict auto capacity. That's an important issue to neighborhoods because we know that this is a major corridor. If you do try and restrict capacity, you may reduce some traffic volume, but we studied to death what happens in terms of traffic diversion, and significant pedestrian safety improvements to the level that we get with the couplet would cause unacceptable diversion of traffic into the neighborhoods, which is both a livability issue, but I think primarily a safety issue on those local neighborhood streets. That's not where we want the cars. We want to keep the cars on the corridor, but put them there in a safe way, which is what the couplet does. Thank you.
Chris, I need to reverse seats.
Okay.
Mayor, councilors, member of the public, my name is Lou Bowers. I'm a senior development manager for the Portland Development Commission, and I manage several of the downtown urban renewal districts. As part of the research that went into the couplet proposal, PDC commissioned a consultant to do a study to estimate the amount of private redevelopment that could be stimulated by the construction of the couplet and the streetcar. We did one version in June of 05. We then updated it in December of 06 to reflect the new preferred alternative that you're discussing here. At this point, we're only talking about the west side is what we estimated. The consultants were Lloyd Lindley, Integra Realty, and Jerry Johnson, all of which have Lloyd on the urban design. Integra and Jerry Johnson are very knowledgeable in the real estate market in downtown Portland. The methodology they used was referred to briefly by Roland before. They created a base model, which is what kind of growth in assessed value is likely to occur with no project. And that you saw that on the graph. Next, they created a trending analysis that said, okay, with this project, there's likely to be a higher level of investment along the entire properties adjacent to the couplet. Third, they identified key catalytic sites where there was a significant amount of potential redevelopment. And for these sites, we actually estimated building volume, assumed uses, and did pro formas so that we could come up with a more specific analysis of what kind of investment and or gap may be there. The time frame was 20 years after the completion of the couplet. I want to stress this is not a development proposal, nor is it a development strategy. It's a feasibility analysis to help see whether this might be a good investment. The map before you shows those catalytic sites going from east to west. Basically, the lower Burnside site is the second one in, and that's between 3rd and 5th, and that includes such sites as the Goldsmith parking lot and the building owned by David Gold, the Dante's Club, which is on the other side, and the gas station, which is immediately on Burnside. The next catalytic area is Burnside and Park, and the properties there include the Burger King, which is currently vacant, the parking lot, the tire store, and the Federal Reserve Building, which has recently been purchased by Harsh. Again, the next site up is Burnside between 12th and 14th, and there we looked at Harsh properties, what they call the one-stop building, just north of Burnside. Then Burnside at 18th, the old Mercedes store between 17th, 18th, Morrison and Alder, the car wash, and the Rasmussen block, all were considered to be ripe for redevelopment. And then finally, Burnside and 21st, there's the Rite Aid and the Red Robin sites. We did not include 24th because we felt development was already underway and the couplet would not necessarily have any direct impact. So the results. Basically, we asked the question, how much new development is likely to occur as a result of the recommended alternative? 20 years after completion, the estimate was that the net new assessed value would be $1.4 billion. That's composed of a base of $1.3 billion, which would happen in any case, then the $1.4 million due to the project for a total of $2.7 billion for the area along the couplet. Next question was, how much new tax revenue would this investment generate? Again, 20 years after completion, the net new taxes would be $28 million per year. That's composed of a current $6 million that is collected on this area. The base would go up to $25 million total, and then with the project, it goes to a total of 53. So the 28 is, in fact, the net new additional taxes. Third question we attempted to answer, is this a good public investment? And here we use two measures. One is based on the cost of the couplet, the $41 million for the couplet and the $39 million for the streetcar. We calculated on a return on investment. And it was found that the city could realize a 10-to-1 return on investment in year 14. That means that there would be $800 million of net new assessed value as a result of investing $80 million in public funds by year 14. The next measure is a more simple analysis of payback. And it was calculated that the payback of the $80 million in project cost could be achieved in year 15. And this would be the net present value of that new tax stream that would be created. Now, all of this development is not currently feasible in the market. It was calculated that there was a 3.2% of cost gap, which means that there was $45 million that would need to, either the market would have to make the development more feasible or the public would have to come up with that to realize this private investment. The gap may decrease over time if market conditions improve, but if you assume that the public sector invests the entire $45 million gap, then your return on investment stretches from 14 to 17 years and your payback stretches from 15 to 18 years. Finally, what are the key factors that affect development along here? In summary, obviously the streetcar service has proved to be very effective, the on-street parking, the better access north and south off Burnside, the improved pedestrian environment, and the improved image of the area. I think that some could certainly criticize this report as conservative. I believe there are additional properties that are very close to the ones I've mentioned that also are ripe for redevelopment, and so the number, the total investment could likely be larger than we estimated. Others would argue that this analysis is very aggressive. It is difficult to prove economic causality. Other than the letter from Harsh, which states that they would be willing to invest if the couplet goes through, there are not any other specific commitments from property owners to do the kind of investment that we've talked about here. So therefore, if you do decide to proceed, I would recommend that the proposed financing plan seek firm financial commitments from a number of these property owners so that we can show a greater nexus between the public investment and the private investment. Thank you.
So if I can just ask a question, Lou, that analysis is based on a public investment of $80 million, your return analysis?
The cost, yes.
So those numbers are, you know, low confidence numbers at this point. And I guess
I believe Roland said that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at an East Side streetcar loop that's projected to cost $176 million, and I'm having a hard time reconciling that with a Burnside loop that would cost only $39 million. So, I mean, if those numbers were, say, to triple between now and when the project was actually done, have you looked at that? I mean, have you done that kind of a confidence analysis?
We have not done that. We certainly could do that analysis. It would just be a matter of doing the math. I'd be happy to get back to you on that.
But just to understand for myself is that that's the $80 million investment in the street and the streetcar, but you're saying that an additional $45 million of development money would be required to really position this area for the kind of return on investment that you're just talking about. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mayor. When you do the pro formas for these development areas, some of the projects would not be economically viable right now. So that's where the $45 million gap comes in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad Malson, Dennis Wild, Greg Goodman.
Dennis Wild, Girding Eadland Development. As was mentioned previously, we were an initial party to the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, been participating in it from day one and continue to participate in the Burnside Cooch Committee. We endorsed the initial proposal for the couplet and were supporters, and then moved to being what I would call strong opponents to it, primarily out of the concern that we were moving from one bad street to two bad streets, that we've created on Cooch probably one of the most envied pedestrian environments, not just in Portland, but in the United States, and the thought of pushing 15,000 cars a day up that street didn't bode well for maintaining the quality of a pedestrian environment that's been created there. With the addition of the streetcar, we felt that we would have to move back to what I would call a neutral position, because we've been strong advocates for mass transit. In Portland, we see that as a critical component to the long-term success of the community. That said, you know, $80 million is a lot of money. There are a number of social and affordable housing issues in the neighborhood that, you know, that money could well go to support in terms of alcohol and drug abuse treatment programs, similar, you know, supporting programs like Central City Concern, REACH, and HAP. And that the reality of trying to move people out of the car, and I laud Commissioner Adams' emphasis on the peak oil concerns and the need to really move the position of the city in terms of the automobile. I still believe that perhaps there may be some solutions where, you know, Burnside could be turned into the kind of amenable, pedestrian-friendly street that we're talking about, without imposing these kinds of traffic volumes onto Cooch.
Good afternoon. My name is Greg Goodman. I think the first thing I'd like to say is, to me, it's exciting to have a defining project here and have all these people out. These are the things, in my opinion, that make Portland great, whatever, regardless of what we do, and it's good to see we're back at it. You know, I want to start off by saying I guess I disagree with Lou. I mean, I think if the public infrastructure is built for a Burnside Coupe couplet with the streetcar, I think that's a huge emphasis and impetus for development. We own 10 properties within 3 blocks, a couple on Cooch, some on Burnside. I can think of no, I'm not going to ask for subsidy, and I'm going to tell you that I can think I'd rather have you put the infrastructure in and then let the private sector go about developing on it. And I think that Street, that Sam, and the people that are involved here have just done an outstanding job. I'm not saying there isn't refinements. I'm just saying it's a huge, huge catalyst project. And you look at the streetcar, and you look at what John Carroll did and all the stuff that's happened on the streetcar. This is every bit as big, if not every bit as big, it's multiples bigger than the streetcar on 10th and 11th to do what you're doing to Burnside. I look at Burnside and I say, this is a street that, as great as Portland is, it's a backdoor street. It's a street that, you know, we've had a huge number of issues on. And now we have an opportunity to do something, what I would call, not in a gauze and cream approach where you put a few turn lanes in, but in an approach where we do it in a Portland way. We do something iconic. Make it a street that we're known not just around the country for, but around the world for. Make it a sustainable green street. You've got multiple-use transit on it with bikes and cars and streetcar. Make everything that happens, make it green, not just within the sidewalks and the public right away, but if you're building on Burnside and Cooch, have that a model of green and sustainability. I personally think this is just the type of project that our city should be getting involved in, and then turning it over to the private sector, hopefully after that, to make some great developments that we can all be proud of. So I would encourage you to support this project, and I can tell you that the Goodmans aren't going to ask for subsidy on our properties if this goes forward. Without it, I can tell you we'll need them. So thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, I'm glad to be here. I want to say this both as a...
Could you state your name for the record?
Oh, sorry. Brad Mallison, Beam Development. I also represent the Bilnato family, Bilnato Company. I want to say that I see in my 13 years in Portland, I've seen certain defining moments come and go, and I've seen certain opportunities won and lost. And I see this as a seminal project that can define where we go and how we handle and deal with difficult projects. There's no question that this needs to be done. The couplet needs to happen. The issues that surround the couplet need to be solved. And I think by protecting the pedestrians, protecting the school children, I think all these things need to be addressed. They need to be enforced safety. But these are issues that I think can be solved. And they're our responsibility, but it is our responsibility to connect the north and the south side of Burnside. There is, I will say along with Greg, that we represent almost 9 blocks of development in Old Town Chinatown, and that we believe with the improvements from the couplet that we will be able to proceed in a significant way with private development. We see this as one of the critical elements. As long as we calm the traffic, as long as we protect the pedestrians, I think we're on safe ground. And I think the era of omission here is much greater than the era of commission. And I think we need to commit ourselves to this, and we need to solve the issues, and we need to forge forward, because it's an essential an important component. I thank everybody who's come here and spoken with their heart, because I love Portland for everything that it really is and everything it tries to be. So thank you.
Betsy Ames, representing the Planning Commission, Rick Michelson, and Brian Pierce.
Mr. I'm Betsy Ames, Assistant Director for the Bureau of Planning. Don Hansen, the Vice Chair of the Commission, was going to be here this afternoon, but unfortunately was called to a meeting in Wilsonville. The Planning Commission understood their role in this process to be an initial filter for public testimony for the City Council, to clarify issues, provide some analysis and discussion of potential responses, and provide their advice and recommendations to the Council. The Planning Commissioners, as individuals and collectively, dedicated significant time and thought to the future of West Burnside and Northwest Cooch Streets, as well as the surrounding neighborhoods. They had several presentations on the proposals, read volumes of information, held a hearing in January, walked the streets, and developed their conclusions based on all of this information. Based on their analysis, they concluded that Burnside has not proven to be a barrier to new residential and commercial development. They did, however, agree that something should be done about Burnside and that doing nothing was not an option. They were concerned about the increase of volume of traffic on Cooch to 18 to 19,000 vehicles per day, and that that would be too great an impact on that street for what could be gained on Burnside. Cooch and Davis, they found, currently provide a linear quiet zone between the couplet of Everett Gleason and Burnside, providing something that could be built upon. They felt that the area of Lower Burnside, with its wider right-of-way and most activity, should be the focus of redesign plans, and that safety measures should be installed immediately at the intersections indicated by transportation analysis and testimonies being hazardous. The Planning Commission specifically recommends that the City Council not move forward with the couplet as preferred alternative at this time. They recommend further developing the enhanced Burnside alternative as a preferred alternative and looking at what elements can be done and phasing as well. There were some elements that they heard in presentation could be subtracted that would significantly reduce the cost of the enhanced Burnside alternative. They thought the city should take immediate steps to address safety concerns at the intersections, especially at 8th and Burnside, for which they heard particularly compelling testimony from a number of testifiers. They recommend further developing and implementing urban design and pedestrian environment improvements, both Burnside and Cooch, utilizing the existing rights-of-way of Lower Burnside and Cooch to accommodate those improvements, ensuring that existing regulations are applied throughout the corridor during redevelopment, regulations that are in the pedestrian design guidelines and Title 33. These are areas in transition, and as new buildings and developments go in, they can provide wider sidewalks and streetscape amenities to create positive pedestrian environments. They wanted to encourage economic investment strategies to provide incentives for the redevelopment of vacant and underutilized properties and to assist social service providers with facility improvements. They heard a lot about the psychological barrier and the desire to work with social service agencies and others. They recommended implementing left turn lanes to provide access to downtown at 3rd and Broadway and to Old Town Chinatown at Broadway and at 4th if possible. They also heard a lot of testimony about the east-west streetcar alignment, a lot of interest and support, and they recommended evaluating potential east-west streetcar alignments through downtown as part of the rail system plan. As part of their decision, the Planning Commission also voted to forward some recommendations if the Council decided to move forward with the couplet. Those included implementing the pedestrian safety measures now. They found that very compelling and thought those improvements shouldn't wait. They also recommended making the streetcar part of the upfront improvements, having the streetcar be considered an integral component in the proposal and having it built at the same time that the vehicle traffic is moved onto a couplet. They recommended not extending the vehicular traffic component of the couplet past 15th, but thought that perhaps the streetcar could go be acceptable with appropriate mitigation measures on that section of Cooch. They recommended humanizing the I-405 Cooch overpass with pedestrian safety improvements and streetscape upgrades. And finally, they recommended directing that the Council direct the Office of Transportation to bring forward the street designation changes to the transportation system plan as part of the comprehensive plan through the legislative process to the Planning Commission and to City Council as soon as possible to resolve that policy issue.
Thank you. I'm Rick Michelson, and I own property on West Burnside between 9th and 10th Avenues. I want to make it clear that I